Hey everybody, welcome back to A Piece of Pie, the queer film podcast. I'm your host, Brian Rowe. This week, I am here with Rob. Hi, Rob.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. I'm excited for tonight's episode. We are, once again, we're doing one movie instead of a pairing. And with the new Top Gun sequel coming out, and the knowledge that you hadn't seen Top Gun, I thought this would be a great time to show you Top Gun. And then, in my utter selfishness, I was like, let's make an episode out of it.
Yeah, I was totally down for it. It's a movie that has just kind of like stayed, just slipped by me, you know, over the course of my life. Like, I know the cultural references, and that's kind of it.
Maverick and Goose and all that.
Yeah, exactly.
So this is a movie for me that's very, it's very formative in hindsight.
Okay.
Because I grew up watching this movie. We had this on VHS. My family didn't do this a ton, but my dad had this, like, stereo system that he was real proud of, and I remember, like, he put Top Gun on it, because it had, like, the big loud jets, and this was, like, a movie that my family and I all watched together.
Oh, interesting, okay.
And there aren't very many movies like that. And what's really interesting about it now, as a 41-year-old gay man, is when I look back on it, and remember watching it on VHS all the time, because we had it, like, we had a very small number of VHS movies, and I would watch them all. I've talked about that before in the podcast. This was one of them. And at some point, probably not... In hindsight, like, it seems perfect, but it wasn't intentional, because right around the time that I was figuring out that I was gay was when I stopped watching this movie all the time. But when I watch it now, I'm like, this is the gayest movie.
I feel like you could unpack that with your therapist for, like, a good couple of hours.
Probably,
Like, stopping watching this super gay movie right at that realization.
Yeah. Well, also, you know, there's only so many times you can watch any one movie. Right? Like, at a certain point, you're like, oh, I finally have these other movies on VHS that I can watch. And I've seen this a thousand times.
Well, you are ruining my analysis, and I don't appreciate it.
I don't think that you're wrong. I don't think either reason is 100% why I stopped watching it.
Sure.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But it's a, like I said, looking at it now, I have watched it in the last few years because I recently, when they announced the sequel, I was like, oh, really want to rewatch the first one. And at one point it was at like $5 on iTunes. And so I bought it, and this was probably a few years ago, and I just remember, and that was when I was like, oh, wow, this is fucking gay. And even like the love interest has a scene where they're both intensely flirting, and the female love interest has her hair up under a hat, and she looks like a man. There's multiple scenes
of
them.
Probably in Tom Cruise's contract.
Probably. Probably. There's multiple scenes of them in their whitey-tighties in locker rooms. There's a lot of sweating, because there's a lot of men on ships. And of course, the infamous... Anyone who knows Top Gun... I mean,
are ships, like known for being hot and sweaty?
Only because of Top Gun.
Okay.
That's my impression of ships because of Tony Scott movies. Basically this and Crimson Tide, where they're like real close up on the radar, their face is green. You know what I'm talking about? Like that's kind of shot. You'll see it. When we watch the movie, you'll see it. It's close up, green, and like some radar noises. And some beads of sweat. Look for that. anyway, so it's just a wild movie that... It's wild that it even exists, and it feels like this really gay overtones, completely unintentional, because there's nothing gay about Tony Scott. Like, he's not a queer man, or he was not a queer man. There's nothing gay about the rest of his movies, but this, like I said, and there's the infamous scene that's even referenced in the trailer. They've recreated it for the sequel, like the shirtless volleyball scene that everybody knows, not to mention, like, the men in whitey tighties and... Tom Cruise and Val Kilmer saying, you can be my... Pardon me. Val Kilmer telling Tom Cruise, you can be my wingman anytime. Like...
I mean, I don't need to watch the movie at this point.
You I know, right?
You through it.
You'll see, though. You'll see. So I'm excited to watch this with you. I'm excited to watch it with you. What do you... Other than what I just said.
Other than what you just said.
What do you know? What do you know about the movie? What are your... What do you think of the movie heading into it, not having seen it?
I mean, so here's the thing. I just never really liked Tom Cruise. I feel like even as a child I like picked up. There was like weird vibes in my house around like Tom Cruise and Julia Roberts. Like we just like as a household didn't like them.
That's funny.
And it just wasn't. And also like my mom is like very like anti like war, anti military. So this was just not a movie that I was ever gonna watch as like a kid.
Yeah.
And then so I think it's just kind of like because I missed it as part of like that zeitgeist, it just like kind of slipped by my radar. And then like I'm just, it's all, Tom Cruise is always going to be a hard sell for me because of like everything I know about him as like right. a human being and individual. Like I just like I don't buy what he's selling, and that always takes me out of whatever I'm watching him in.
Yeah, that makes complete sense. I completely get that.
So I mean, I know that this is a super gay movie. Like, I mean, you didn't spoil anything for me with, like, the volleyball and the love interest in a hat. Like, those are all things that I have heard. I know this is probably, like, takes away from my, like, street cred. But, like, the reason I'm actually, like, kind of interested in watching it is because of the sequel. Like, I have this, like, odd curiosity about these, like, reboot slash sequels that have become like such a thing. And you know, I like some of, like, I like Mason Gooding Jr. I like, there are multiple attractive people in this sequel that I can't actually name right now, but that have made me think like, oh, maybe this is a movie that I would watch, especially if they're gonna play gay volleyball on a beach.
I hope they do play the gay volleyball. I do want to see it in IMAX. I'm not lying. But again, like, I see where you're coming from with Tom Cruise, but from, like, where I'm coming from, where my experience was that my mom was really into Tom Cruise, mm-hmm. and Tom Cruise was an actor whose movies we always watched. So he's someone who, at the time, like, I've seen this a million times. I've seen Days of Thunder a million times. I've seen A Few Good Men a million times. Like, Mission Impossible, of course, and that whole franchise. I'm something of a Tom Cruise apologist at times when it comes to just his work, even though I know he's a madman.
Sure.
I'm not a fan, but I also, like, I'm not a fan.
Sure.
Does that make, like...
Yeah, I feel like we all have people like that, and you know, but this
he's just been around in my life for so long too.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I mean, what this reminds me of is, I know we did an episode way back when we watched The Sandlot, and like that's a movie I grew up with, and it was a movie that you had not seen, and so it was interesting to have a conversation about it with me coming at it from a place of nostalgia, and you coming at it with brand new eyes. So that's what I'm curious about with watching this tonight. Is kind of the reverse scenario. You have this long-lasting affection for the movie from when you were a kid, and I will be going in, I mean, not completely blind, but it's definitely a first viewing.
Yeah, it's such a Tom Cruise archetype that we can get into on the other side of the conversation, but he's played a lot of characters. And this was the first one where his dad is a legendary figure in his field who has died, and he's following in his footsteps, and he's trying to, like, literally the same plot of the Days of Thunder and A Few Good Men.
I've not seen any of those movies.
In all three of those movies, his dad is a legend, and he's a lawyer, and everybody knows him and loves him, and it's my theory too.
How has Tom Cruise not worked with Spielberg more, given this, like, love of dead dads?
Well, no, that's what's so interesting, is because when he did finally work with Spielberg, he played the dad in War of the Worlds.
Yeah.
But I also have this theory that Max and I talked about in the Magnolia episode, where his role in Magnolia is sort of the last time he plays that son kind of overcoming his father figure. He, like, confronts the father figure, and then immediately after that he did, like, War of the Worlds, where he played a dad, and then now he's just doing, you know,
now he's just making movies. Money. Yeah.
Right, but there was this weird period where, like I said, I'm something of an apologist. Like, I've seen almost all of his movies, and it's interesting to look back, because, like I said, I do think that there's something to that Paul Thomas Anderson wrote for Tom Cruise a role of a man trying to distance himself from his father.
So do you buy into the charisma? Like, do you feel the charisma?
I don't personally, but I understand.
I mean, it's just such an act to me. It's such a person. Like, nothing feels
Yes.
Authentic about about him. And I mean, there have been performances of his that like I haven't minded. Like, he was fine in Vanilla Sky. He was fine in an Interview with the Vampire, although I'll never forgive him for taking all the gay out of that movie. Like, well, trying to. It's still a fucking gay movie.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah. Like, there are things where I'm like, you're fine, you're serviceable, but I've never gotten, like, the super appeal. Whereas, you know, I mentioned, I compared him to kind of Julia Roberts in Our Household earlier, and she kind of broke through for me. She got to this place where she just didn't give a fuck anymore. She stopped doing the, like, oh, nice girl next door, ha 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 persona, and, like, just started kind of being a little bit of a bitch. And I was like, yes, I love you. This is great. I want to see more of you. And, like, I'd like to see Tom Cruise give up Scientology and, like, find that, like, persona for him, but I just don't...
I don't think that's even possible for him. I think it's... Like, not to, like, get into armchair psychology, but it feels like he's so far past the point where that's possible.
Oh, yeah.
But, like I said, he is someone that... Like I said, I mean, I have memories of watching this movie at a very young age and watching all of his movies growing up. I haven't seen a ton of movies in the theater with my parents, but, like, The Firm and Days of Thunder are two of them.
Oh, wow.
And those are both, again...
Your mom wanted to fuck Tom Cruise.
I don't want to... We're going to move right on from that. we could talk about, like, Rosie O'Donnell's weird, like, lesbian crush on him. I think that's a little more interesting.
I mean, talk about just, like, a cover, right? Yeah. Like, I'm going to have this obsession, this crush on this very safe man that exudes no sexuality whatsoever. Of course he felt safe to a lesbian.
Right.
I mean, lesbians, am I right? Like, you tell me. I don't want to, like, project onto you. But, like, I mean, I could totally see that. I feel like those are, like, the women I had crushes on.
Right, like, right, when I was right. Yeah. Younger. Oh, yeah, no. I see what you're saying. I don't ever think... Even... Granted, like, I feel like with the whole Rosie O'Donnell thing, and I don't want to get too deep into the woods on this because it's not really that interesting, but to continue my thought, I never really bought it as, like, a real crush. Like, I thought it was... It always just read to me as, like, she was just trying to get him on her show.
I mean,
And I think she was, like, probably playing it up like it's a crush. But even when I was watching it at, like, 13 years old, I never actually thought Rosie O'Donnell had a crush on Tom Cruise.
Oh, I mean, because we all kind of, like, got the lesbian vibe from her. Yeah. So I think that, like, I think even if we couldn't articulate it, it was like, something's not right here.
Right.
But, I mean, to me, when you're worried about advertisers, when you're worried about whether or not Kush is going to let you send its balls into the audience, you're going to, like, have some sort of cover. And it's like me being really into Sarah Jessica Parker and Hocus Pocus. You know, feels safe.
That's, yeah. And Sarah Jessica Parker is, like, the perfect example, too. Because she, like, married a fucking theater guy. all right, well, I don't know if there's much more that we can be sad about this movie before we watch it.
I mean, I will say that I am expecting to come down in, like... Oh, I get it, Land. Like, I don't think I'm going to, like, love this movie. I don't think I'm going to hate watching it. I think it'll be like, I understand why you all, like, have this affinity for this movie.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think that's probably accurate. Like, a 2.5 to 3 star?
Yeah, like, 3 for me is, like it, but, like, never kind of need to see it again. And okay. Then I feel like I'll probably come down around 3. That's my guess.
Okay. Awesome. Well, let's find out. So for the moment, we're going to leave you with a trailer for Top Gun, the original Top Gun. And then we're going to watch this movie. It'll be just a few seconds for you, but for a couple hours for us. So
magic of editing.
We'll see you on the other side.
Send you up against the best.
Yes, sir.
You two characters are going to Top Gun.
I feel the need.
The need for speed.
5 weeks, you're going to fly against the best fighter pilots in the world. You guys really are cowboys.
I don't like you because you're unsafe.
That's right.
I am dangerous.
The wild card flies by the seat of his pants.
Yeah, I guess when I see something, I go right after it.
It takes a lot more than just fancy flying.
Film in this school is about combat. There are no points for second place.
You figured it out yet?
What's that?
Who's the best pilot? No, I think I can figure that one out on my own.
Tom Cruise, Kelly McGillis. Top Gun.
All right, welcome back. That was the Top Gun trailer. Rob, what did you think of Top Gun, the movie?
You know, I feel like a little bit of a wet blanket. Like, I really wanted to enjoy it. Like, I was, like, so excited to see what all the fuss was about. It lost me pretty quickly. It just reminded me of, like, how much I hated going to, like, air rendezvous, like, air shows as a kid with, like, my extended family. Like, you just, like, show me planes flying in the air and you, like, lose me. And then you show me, like, the lack of chemistry between, like, the two leads and you lose me. And so I just, like, I found myself checking out more than I would have liked. I guess I kind of see, like, the nostalgia factor and, like, why this, like, this movie is, like, enjoyed and revered by so many people. But, like, I don't need to see it again.
No, that's fine. I understand. It's one of the, we've done this sort of format a few times. And it usually ends with whoever's watching the movie for the first time liking it. And you run the risk of whoever's watching it is not going to like it. So it was bound to happen at some point. And that's fine. It was Top Gun. And what I realized sort of watching it this time is I have a lot of really fond memories of a lot of really different scenes and a lot of different lines.
Sure.
But they all happen really far apart.
Gotcha.
And By this point, I watch this all the time on VHS. I've seen it more times than I can count, but I did find myself kind of... Because I think this is the first time I've really tried to revisit it as, like, an adult and watch it critically.
Mm-hmm.
And with that in mind, I found myself kind of, like you said, checking out a little bit. And I'm just like, you're right, like, the chemistry is terrible. There's the scene... by the way, we're going to talk full spoilers for this, like, 30-year-old movie. but the scene where Tom Cruise goes over to Kelly McGillis's house, and they're... ostensibly flirting, I guess, because they end up hooking, like, but there's no chemistry, and they're not saying anything to each other that's in any way conversational. It doesn't feel like a conversation that two people would have in any way.
This movie was very tell not show. Like, they just kind of, like, told you the relationships between all these different people without, like, giving evidence of any of these relationships, whether it be the love story or the rivalry or the friendship. It's just kind of like, no, just trust us. This is a relationship.
Yeah, it feels very, and it's interesting. It's telling. It's very interesting. I don't know if it's telling, but it's an early Don Simpson, Jerry Bruckheimer production. And if you know their filmography at all,
sure.
Like The Rock, Beverly Hills Cop, I can't think of any right now for some reason. Crimson Tide is another one. It's another Tony Scott, like Don Simpson, Jerry Bruckheimer. They're all very testosterone-y. The Don Simpson, Jerry Bruckheimer, and Jerry Bruckheimer in general productions are all just very sort of bro-y. There's a lot of testosterone in this movie.
Yeah.
And not as much as in a fun gay way as I would like. As much as I like, I can think about and like remember these moments of like the volleyball scene or how often they're just frequently hanging out with each other in their tidy whities. It's not enough for it to be like even sort of campy and gay.
No.
It's like, like I said, all of my fond memories, I realized, like, everything's really far apart from each other. So you're waiting for a lot to, like, sort of happen.
I totally get that. Like, there were those moments where, like, every once in a while there'd be a scene where I was like, oh, I'm enjoying this in the way that I enjoy The Room or I enjoy Showgirls. Like, there is an unintentional camp factor that is fun.
There's not enough of that, though.
But exactly.
Because there's so much testosterone, because it's all about, like I said, so I think that this is sort of an interesting, I was thinking about this while watching it, because like I said, my family watched this a lot together on VHS, and I think that it is that perfect middle America, middle ground movie where it's presenting you with a lot of aerial fight scenes and cinematography you've never seen before and state-of-the-art sound. If you're in the movie theater, you're watching it at home, it really feels like you're really experiencing it for the first time. It feels like when you were experiencing it for the first time with all of that. It's made with like, all that sound and fury in mind, and it feels like a very definitive sort of early, just real generic, like, Simpson-Bruckheimer, big stupid action movie testosterone production. Like, this is the slippery slope that leads to Michael Bay.
Yeah, I didn't see that. Like, it's all just kind of like, oh, you're having, like, some sort of visceral reaction of this. Like,
and we're gonna,
we're gonna substitute that for emotion.
Right, and we're gonna tell you the emotions you have to be feeling with this selection of songs and this, like, well-lit, like, but otherwise super awkward sex scene.
But, like, here's the thing. Like, even within that and, like, taking this, like, approach, this, like, hyper-masculine approach, like, with a lead like Tom Cruise, it kind of feels like your high school is staging, like, hyper-masculinity, the musical, and casting, like the gay theater kid in the lead.
He does.
And, like, it just didn't work. Like, it just felt like he did not embody, like, the machismo of this character, like, at all. It just felt like play acting, and it was really hard for me to get behind.
Yeah, it feels very much like a high school version of, like, Danny from Grease. It's an interesting performance.
High school should, like...
And that was the other thing, speaking of his performance, I remember saying to you while we were watching this, this does feel like Tom Cruise's, like, horniest performance. He's not an actor who... He doesn't often... Like, he's played, like, obviously he's played a lot of leads, but he's not a very... He doesn't sexualize himself. He's not sure...
Who is he
like, he's
horny
real,
for, though? Like,
I don't know. Well, like, her. It seems like... It's like the play acting, like... Like, you're... Yeah, like... I mean, it's a performance. Like, and it feels like a performance, but, like, he's all, like, staring her down, and, like, he stands really close to her, and is, like, he follows her into the women's restroom, and then,
And then, like, just says he's gonna take a shower at her house. Like, there's just so many weird things about this relationship.
Yeah, it's super weird, yeah, and they don't really seem to have very much in common, and I think it really kind of just, they're just into it because they know they shouldn't be. They're like, oh, I'm a student, and she's a teacher.
Yeah, but then with, like, the music cues and whatnot, it tries to, like, authenticate this relationship instead of just, like, showing it for what it
is. Well, that's just... I think that's... I chalk that up to just sort of Hollywood being Hollywood, and you would have to romanticize. Like, no one... Especially in the 80s. Like, no one in the 80s in movies was having sex with each other for the pleasure of it. Like, it was all, like, you were going to fall in love with someone. And it was, like, you only did that if you were in love with someone.
But they weren't... Like, but they very clearly weren't. Like,
right.
Yeah.
But it wants you to think that they are because it's telling you and not showing you their relationship. And it wants you to think that they're in love. And so it's playing you all these, like, it plays as, like, she's lost that love and feeling, or you've lost that love and feeling, excuse me. And it becomes this sort of, like, song that she plays at the end to surprise him. But, like, you're right. There's no, like, chemistry. There's no, and she doesn't even really seem to, like,
I mean, even let's take that scene that's, like, supposed to be a moment, and it's supposed to create this, like, bond between them with this song. Like, he just, like, gets, like, fucking like 30 Navy guys to just like start singing this song to this girl. Like, A, creepy.
Yeah.
Like, B, how did they all know this is what they were supposed to do? They like just showed up at Top Gun like that day, like, and met these people.
No, like I said, I think that it's, I do, I think it's like this weird, unspoken like song. Perhaps this is my theory, this is not a definitive answer, but like this is just the song that Navy guys use to help other Navy guys get
that's
laid like in the 80s.
As fuck, that is,
I know, but it was like a bunch of macho,
put a pill in someone's drink.
I mean, you're talking about a bunch of like macho hyper masculine, like,
and they're
sailors.
Saying what is it, it's like the Everly Brothers, like like really, like
I don't know. I don't know why I'm trying to defend that scene, but to set it up, in case you don't know, there is a very early scene in the movie. They're at the bar after they've gotten to school. Kelly McGillis, this is her introduction, the love interest introduction, and I wanted to bring this up because they make a bet, and he's like $20, but you have to have carnal knowledge of a lady this time. And like I said while we were watching it, I want to know what that. I want that prequel. I want to know what happened there. But it's a bet. And so he goes over and sings You've Lost That Loving Feeling and follows her into the women's restroom and heavily implies that they should just have sex right there so he can make $20. And
I mean, that's how Tom Cruise is used to having sex.
Probably. But it, what I didn't point out was that when he sings You've Lost That Loving Feeling, the entire bar filled with fellow sailors joins in and helps him. And then she's won over and she says, have a seat. And, you know, they start falling in love, as the movie would have us believe. But yeah, the fun gay stuff is too... it's fewer and further between than I remember. I had forgotten about... the scene early on with Val Kilmer and his, like, co-pilot.
Slider. He was the best part of the movie.
Slider.
He's my boy.
Rick Rossovich. I looked him up. He could still get it. Rick Rossovich. One of them says... I don't remember what he says, but he says something about, like, I'm getting an erection, I'm getting a boner or something.
Yeah.
And the other guy's like, don't tease me.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm getting a hard-on.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there are those moments, and again, it's just like, why are you putting this in there? You know what you're doing. Like, it, especially, like, in, like, the context of this, like, Reagan 80s.
Yeah.
And, like, and also, like, color me ignorant, but when were these, like, aerial fights happening with other planes from Russia in a Cold War? Like, the definition of a Cold War is that, like, there's not, like, actual fighting. Like, am I just ignorant of the 80s, or is this movie wrong?
Probably a little both. But that's no, fair. So the one at the end, though, they explain, like, it's a rescue mission, and they're supposed to, like, basically, some boat has been lost at sea, and they're going to, like, the final one, I was noticing it because watching it this time, I was like, I don't know if I ever knew this about this plot point, but the plot point is that this boat has lost communication and was last seen in enemy water, and people are going in to rescue it, and the jets are going in to make sure no one stops the rescue, and basically to protect the rescue. And then other jets start coming in. Whether that's in any way realistic, I have no idea. But that within the context of the movie, that's what was happening.
Sure. Like,
again, I don't know if it's a thing that they do, but I did get that from the movie this time. I was like, oh, okay, so that's why. And they end up killing a couple of like Russian fighters. They blow up a couple of the jets,
which
I feel like would be on the news.
Yeah, and then like no one's ever going to hear about this. Like, okay, but like. I again, it's just like trying to like romanticize the Cold War in the middle of the Cold War, which just feels
It was. I mean, it's a very like rah-rah pro-American like movie, right? Like, it's very we are the good guys and they are the bad guys.
I feel it's taking advantage of that like viewpoint, but it's not like. I don't know if it, like, adds to the propaganda. Like, it just, like, relies on that to sell
right.
the story.
Yeah, I don't think it's necessarily adding to it, but it's, for sure relying on it. It's assuming that the audience for this are American. And like, the enemy, like, pilots are in, like, helmets and you never see their faces. Like, you know what I mean? They're these, like, and literally anonymous,
yeah.
like, black hooded, coated figures.
I mean, it was like watching someone play a boring video game. Like, you know, like, sometimes it's yeah. fun to watch someone play a video game, and sometimes it really sucks.
Yeah.
This was like oh, is your turn over yet, bro?
Right.
Like, that's kind of what yeah. it felt like.
Yeah, I was disappointed at how far apart a lot of, like, the fun moments were.
Yeah.
But that opening is really iconic, and that opening song, and of course Danger Zone, and of course the what did you think of the volleyball scene and the music and the song playing with the boys over the volleyball scene?
It was fine, but like the context was just stupid. Like
yeah, there's no explanation for it.
Like,
whatsoever.
No explanation, it just comes out of nowhere yeah. and like so like sure I'll take it. I'm not gonna complain about Slider like flex and all greased up. But, like, why was Tom Cruise wearing jeans playing beach volleyball? That's going to haunt 80s. Me until I die. It was so 80s, stupid. I guess.
That's really stupid. It was the 80s is all I can figure. Did people do that in the 80s?
I don't know. Oh, my gosh. I feel like I'm just, like, yucking a lot of people's yum. Like, I totally get, like, the nostalgic appeal. And, like, I have these movies where, like, it's, like, you can't say anything bad about Return to Oz because or The Sandlot because I loved it when I was a kid.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know, like, coming at this from an adult, as an adult for the first time was yeah. just, like, I was on board, I was rooting for you, as Tyra would say. Like, I wanted it to yeah. be an enjoyable experience and, like, to get in on the fun that everyone right. seems to have with it, and it just didn't come from you.
No, that's fair, and I do think a lot of that. Yeah, I mean, I think that is not even a lot of that. All of that is entirely based on for sure, like when you saw it. I saw it as a child.
Sure.
And we had like Top Gun. We had the Top Gun hat with like the logo. Like my brothers and I all did. We went to the air show. We were excited about it. We loved the Blue Angels because of this movie. Watching it now at 41 years old, I'm like, I wish we'd watched a better movie. But I mean, I appreciate it now. I appreciate it now for the nostalgia factor, and also, yeah, you know, the beach volleyball scene and the fact that everybody just is so comfortable hanging out in white towels. Like, there's a whole scene where I'm like, are they in a bathhouse?
Right? The one guy is, like, laying on his back yes. on a bench with his legs spread wide yes. open, and it's like, what are you waiting for, dude? Like,
yeah.
me, yeah. hopefully, but what's going on here?
Right. For sure. And it's wild to me that I, like, watch that as, like, a young gay. And,
yeah.
I do remember, as a result of this movie, like I said, we were fans of, like, I remember feeling like I wanted to do this, but when I watch it now, I don't think that, like,
the hanging around in a
right.
towel, yeah.
That was the part that I wanted. Although watching it now, I was like, you know, I would probably completely throw up, but it would be cool to, like, fly in a jet. Like, I don't want to fly it myself. I want to, like, I've seen some, like,
those
like,
are the so, people that kept dying.
I know, that's true. Spoiler alert, Goose dies.
That just came out of nowhere too, and like,
that's another thing though, that's like, it's substituting that, it's like, literally he's like expendable so that it can get Maverick to this self-reflective place.
Yeah.
Because totally, otherwise, like, he's just this arrogant guy the whole way through.
That may be the gayest thing about the movie, is that they fridged a dude.
They totally did. Yeah. Yeah. You're right.
I mean, here's the thing, though. Like, this new one's coming out, and, like, I'm not going to pay for it. But, like, when it's streaming on Paramount Plus, like,
I feel like, I would see it in IMAX just because I saw the trailer for it in IMAX, and I was like, this could be cool.
Like, I mean, you also have that, like, nostalgic, like, yeah. affinity for it. Like, yeah. I totally get that and respect that. But, like, for me, like, I think it is a high compliment to say that I might watch this for free one day when I'm bored. Like, that's fair. Like, I mean, it's, you've got a hot guy from Falcon and Winter Soldier. You've got...
Who was that? Oh, was that the new Falcon?
Yeah. Yeah. You got him in there. You got, I mean...
Miles Teller.
I don't like Miles Teller.
I don't either. I don't know if you could hear the eye roll.
but his mustache don't look that bad.
He just looks like Goose. He just looks like... I'm like, oh, they did a good job of casting his son.
Yeah, I mean, that's the other thing about, like, the movie, like... Anthony Edwards was maybe the most, like, heterosexual thing about the movie. Yeah. And not in a, like, hyper-masculine kind of way, because hyper-masculine is actually, like, really gay, let's face it. Right. In a, like, celebrating the mediocrity of, like, the straight white man way. Yeah, like,
But he's, like, a charming straight white man, and everybody loves him, like Iceman says. Everybody liked him.
Told us that everyone liked him. We didn't get to see that.
Well, no, but you know, obviously he was playing Great Balls of Fire at a restaurant, so you can tell, that's how you know.
I mean, the best way they showed us that everyone liked him was by casting, like, Meg Ryan, someone with so much charisma, as, like, the love of his life. Because it's like, oh, if this fun person loves him, then he must be great.
I feel like his performance is a little bit better than that. Like, I feel like the way they let you know that people liked him is by casting Anthony Edwards. An inherently, like, likable presence, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, I guess he's, like, fine.
He's funny in it. Like, he has that, like, big... loud laugh, and, like, he cracks jokes, and he's Mav's best friend, you know?
He's the guy you pick fourth for your dodgeball team.
Probably, but...
I mean, sure, yeah.
I don't know, he's just like, yeah, you're right, but he's a dad.
And I will say, like, his performance feels authentic in a way that, like, Tom Cruise or Kelly McGillis, like, yeah. Absolutely do not, like... Everything is forced with those two performances.
Yeah.
And, like, Anthony Edwards is just kind of, like, present in himself. And
Yeah. But that's enough for this
movie. And that is enough for him in that character.
Yeah.
I will say, like, Val Kilmer was, like, kind of fun in this movie. Like, if anyone had chemistry in this movie, it was Val Kilmer and
Tom Cruise. He's just chomping his gum and, doesn't like Maverick and, yeah. He doesn't do much for me in this movie.
I mean, it's all about Slider.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah, Slider is definitely, you know, all this time later, I think... I mean, obviously, at the time, it was, like, this huge, like, Tom Cruise movie and Tom Cruise vehicle, and he was seen as, like... I mean, this was a huge deal for him.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. Justice for Slider.
I mean, here's the thing with Tom Cruise. Like I railed against him in the, you know, when we talked before watching the movie. And, like, there were moments in here where I was like, oh, I see the appeal. I see the appeal. But I didn't see the appeal as, like, him playing Maverick. I saw the appeal of, like, oh, yeah, like, I would want to, like, get with that gay dude playing the lead in the High School Musical about hyper-masculinity. But some of that, like, authentic charisma, like, still came through.
Right.
But not in the way they wanted it to come through, at least for me.
I think, I mean, like I said, I am something of a Tom Cruise apologist, even though I wouldn't describe myself as a fan. There is a charisma and a natural sort of likability that he has that has gotten him this far. And, you know, whether it works for you or not is up to the personal preference. But I do think there's, like, this movie star charm.
I think in 98% of the time it comes across as really forced and authentic. And yeah. I feel like America's being bamboozled. But there was a moment or two where I was like, it's not what he's selling me, but there's maybe something worth buying. And that just made me sad that, like, he's hiding behind this,
right.
This persona of, the Jesus of Scientology.
Yeah, well. yeah, there is all of that. And like I said, it's like it's hard to like really defend him as much as, like I said, he's someone who's I've been watching my entire life, and I own all of the Mission Impossible movies, and that's like 7 and Top Gun. I don't, like I said, I wouldn't describe myself as a fan, but he does have a likability, and I do like the Mission Impossible movies. And
but like, so many people could play that part.
Yeah, I would say that a lot of people could play that part, but not a lot of people would do it the way that he does it. Mm. And again, whether you agree with the way that he does it, he's balls to the wall, like committed to that, to an insane degree that legitimately makes me question his actual sanity. But also, it creates this sort of unique to Tom Cruise, like, experience. Generally I would ask, is there a say something gay about it, but you've been talking about Slayer.
So, I mean, honestly, for me, I think the gayest thing about the movie is the guy just like laying spread eagle on his back in a towel nonchalantly in the middle of like other people having a conversation.
I think that's the thing.
He's not an active participant in this conversation. He's just chilling, observing, doing the spread eagle.
He has his hands up. He's doing the thing with, he has those fake airplanes that he's playing with. And he like says something at the beginning.
Literally did not even notice those fake airplanes, just noticed his legs in the air.
Yeah.
Wide open. Ready for landing.
Yeah, it's like I said, I remember watching this movie a lot and like really feeling like, oh my god, I want to do this. But yeah, I feel like it was like I wanted to hang out in white towels with a bunch of naked muscular men, and it doesn't get any gayer than that.
It sure doesn't.
I've spent a lot of time in my adulthood doing that without actually having to go to flight school, so I think it's a win-win. I got what I wanted no matter what.
There you go.
Well, thank you so much for hopping on and watching Top Gun with me. I'm sorry you didn't like it.
Yeah, no.
But again, it was eventually going to happen that, you know.
It's nice to cross it off the list and, like, be able to, like, have an opinion on it.
Yeah.
Even if it's contrarian.
It's okay. Like I said, you're not... While I don't see it your way, I also don't think you're wrong. Like, it's... You know, art is subjective.
well, and like I said, I think this is probably one where it really depends, like, where in life.
Absolutely.
I was talking to a coworker today talking about, like, how she saw it when she was 17, and, you know, she loved it and was in love with Tom Cruise. And, like, yeah, if it came out when I was 17 and I saw it in theaters, like, maybe it would be all about it, too.
Right.
You know?
Who would you say, did you have a sort of, like, teenage, like, actor that you were, like, really into that was working when you were in high school? Like, who would have... Like, if she was 17 and saw Top Gun, like, what would have been your...
Oh my god, this is so embarrassing, the one that came to mind.
Oh, the one that came to mind for me is James Vanderbeek, so it can't be any worse.
No, I think it can. I was gonna say Tom Cavanaugh as Ed the Bowling Alley Lawyer in NBC's Ed.
Okay.
It was like Julie Bowen's breakout role as well. Like,
I know of the... Yeah, I'm familiar.
He really did it for me in a way that, like, I don't think I, like, realized. Like, in my head, I had a crush on Julie Bowen, which is equally embarrassing. But...
I mean, Julie Bowen, right?
She's had sex with Tucker Carlson.
Oh,
it's repulsive.
No, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. It was like... He cheated on his wife, or she cheated on her husband with the other. They went to high school together and then, like, reconnected. Yeah.
I've always found her just a sort of likable presence.
Yeah.
Even in Modern Family. But I didn't know that.
She was a safe crush to have in Ed the Bowling Alley
exactly.
Lawyer, but I really wanted Tom Cavanaugh.
Exactly.
Or the other guy in it. No, yeah. I mean, there were definitely, like, I mean, James Marsden in X-Men. Like, Sean Ashmore and Animorphs and X-Men. Like, there were plenty.
But none of them are now movie star caliber.
Yeah.
Like, Tom Cruise really is in a sort of realm of his own in terms of... who he is, and, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly didn't, like, have a thing for, like, Alec Baldwin or... like...
Right.
I mean, maybe, like, John Cusack in a way, but even then it was, like, John Cusack from the past and, like, Say Anything Cusack and, like, High Fidelity, which was, like, high school for me.
That's peak John Cusack, I think. Those two movies are peak John Cusack.
But, like, but Two Sides of a Coin of peak... Like, it was almost like they were, like... It was, like, a Pokemon evolution of John Cusack.
His character in High Fidelity feels very much like an adult version of his character in Say Anything.
Yeah, which is sad, because he's, like, such a bitter straight man in High Fidelity. Like...
I know. That's John, I mean, that's John Cusack.
If you want to have me back on to talk about High Fidelity, I have thoughts on that character.
Okay. High Fidelity is always a possibility. It is a movie that I enjoy and I have fun stories about because I worked at Landmark when it opened.
Nice.
But yes, so thank you once again. We're getting way off track. Can we find you on social media?
Yeah, Paths Will Cross on Instagram and Twitter and Letterboxd.
Excellent. Thank you so much. You can find the podcast at Piece of Pie Pod on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Also, I am So Brian Rowe. That's Brian with an I, R-O-W-E, on Instagram, Twitter, and Letterboxd. Give me a follow over there, where I have a bunch of lists about my favorite movies and things, and I write reviews once in a while. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you next time.